play. What's up? Yeah.
Yeah. Kane is in the building.
Yeah. It's alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they will see the thunder? Just remember when you come up.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast, previewing the 2019 Mayakoba Golf Classic. We're going to Mexico in order to break it all down. I got my co-host, as always. Find him on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how we doing, man?
Dude, it's getting ready to snow here, so
it's the Kentucky weather report time.
Not well, dude. It's, you know, week off. People need to know what the weather's like around here, so.
Does that mean golf season's almost over?
Golf season has been over, buddy. Oh, it's been over. Yeah, yeah. So
I played skins today for the holiday.
Yeah.
I almost drove a par four, which I don't drive very far. It's a short par four. I need to clarify that. But
I had a buddy text me all weekend. I had a buddy text me all weekend about how he was playing Sweetens Cove. So, I mean, I don't need it from you too, dude.
You know what was ridiculous? I was in Reno this week, and I know we were talking about it before the pod. And usually when I go to Reno in the winter, I hate it because I have to go through snow and all kinds of stuff. It was 75 to 80 degrees highs every day.
Really?
It was ridiculous. I've never seen it that way in November. It was crazy. It was just nuts. But, hey, it's almost snowing in Kentucky. Yeah. So, but how's everything else been? We had a week off. We were joking about it before the show. anything fun and exciting in the golf world and Jesse's world?
I mean, I got nothing, dude. You know, it's it's this time of year is just hard to, like – I mean, and I have mad respect for the guys who continue to grind out golf, you know, 24/7, 365. It's just hard. It's hard to do. But, you know, we'll do it here for sure.
We will do it. We got Mayakoba this week, RSM next week. We'll have, you know, weeks off here and there. We'll have the President's Cup. We were discussing. We'll have a President's Cup preview for you. Debating, probably not going to do the Hero this year. 18 golfers, just not quite our cup of tea. But we'll break it all down for you. We got we won't talk President's Cup tonight. We'll talk about it in the preview as it looks like rosters are going to change some more with injuries and whatnot. LT Gray voting for himself is a story in itself, but that'll be for another podcast. Any thoughts on anything? I've given you the open floor.
Otherwise, Mayakoba. It's hard not to it's hard not to mention at least Rory won the the HSBC there 2 weeks ago. Yes. I guess in a playoff over Xander, I didn't get to watch any of it because it's on at times when I'm sleeping. So, but yeah, I mean, the last couple weeks there, man, how wild is this? And then one other thing, we got to give a special shout out to the dude, Kevin at Kevin's Delight on Twitter. He told us how long ago was it 3, 4, 5, 6 months ago that Brendan Todd was on his way back.
Dude, he's been a Brendan Todd guy. I remember going to the U.S. Open. No, it had to be the Pebble Beach Pro-Am. I don't think Todd made the U.S. Open. Pebble Beach Pro-Am, and he was doing a practice round with Sepp Straka and company. I took a picture of the bag, sent this to Kevin in our group chat. Kevin was pumped. That was like shortly after he told us that Brendan Todd was coming for the belt. And yeah, Brendan Todd took one down.
Yeah, he gets it done over there in the Bermuda Championship. So good for him, man. I mean, that's a good story too about a guy who literally couldn't hit a golf ball. He had the yips.
Yeah, and the yips are no joke.
No, they're not. They are not. And anybody who makes fun of people who struggle with their golf game, you know, I know obviously I make fun of guys a lot who miss short putts, but golf's not easy. And I mean, that's a hell of a story, Brendan Todd coming back there. But then Rory overshadows him, of course, and. You know, in hindsight, we should have seen the Rory win coming.
Yeah, Rory just literally put the stamp on Brooks's argument about Player of the Year, which is pretty funny. I agree, they're both amazing, and I wanted Brooks to win Player of the Year. But what Rory did was amazing, and then he comes right back out. And Xander tried to go back-to-back. He beat Finau the year before in a playoff, and then he comes and loses to Rory in a playoff, which was pretty impressive to see. And then when you want to talk the Bermuda, when you want to go full tilt, I don't know if I've had a 6-6 all fall swing, and I've still been successful. I had a 6-6 with my one lineup in the Bermuda. Nothing. Zero. Nada. It was unbelievable.
The cut sweats on that the account at Cut Sweats was a strange like there was some contests that were super low, some that were super high, but it's just the mm-hmm. I guess the nature of the beast whenever you have small contests like they had that week. So
yeah,
anyway, at least this week we're back to like a normal PGA Tour event with a cut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 132 man field, T65 and ties make the cut. So about a half the field or more, roughly around half, will make the cut, which will be a whole nother animal, which will be much more what we like to talk about, Jesse. So you mentioned we've been here before. Why don't you give some past event history?
Yeah. So
El Chameleon.
You knew this was going to happen.
I know.
You fucking knew this was going to happen. It's even worse that I have this like hick accent too. You know what I mean? Like it just doesn't make things better whenever I'm trying to pronounce this shit. So anyways, wherever Bubba just said is where we're at again this year. Last year, Matt Kuchar won almost $1.3 million.
How much did his caddy
give his caddy?
Sorry, I did not know where you're going with
that. I mean, what did he give him? Like what was the figure? Like $5,000?
L2 can got around $5,000.
Off a fucking $1.3 million. And that he went back and fixed it, however, quote unquote, you know, whatever, he fixed it apparently, supposedly. So should be interesting to hear about that all week long. So he won last year 22 under par.
I'm surprised he's going back right now.
Well, me and you both.
Like maybe let that one die down for a year or two before.
Yeah. He's probably got such a large ego.
Sketchers don't pay all the bills, so he's got to go.
I mean, the guy's made over like $40 million playing golf, you know, so
true.
He doesn't need the money, but I wonder if he's bringing his own, if his guy's going down there with him this year.
You'd imagine so. I think it was something like his caddy had to go, he couldn't make it because of illness or family or something. But yeah, I agree with what you're saying. Like, what if he wins? How much does the caddy get this time?
Yeah. There'll be questions about that. So 22 under par, one shot over Danny Lee last year. Patton Kizzire was the 2018 champion. Excuse me, 2017 champion. 2017-18 golf year. Anyways, long story short on Patton Kizzire, he actually won two fall swing events that year, I believe.
Yep.
19 under par, one shot over Ricky Fowler. 2016 was the man, Pat Perez, 21 under par, two shots over Gary Woodland. Graham McDowell's won this event in the past. Charlie Hoffman, Harris English. I mean, the names aren't that great for this event because there's, you know, this is a kind of a funky fall swing event that just falls in a bunch of randomness here. But anyways, long story short, this is the Kuchar event from last year. So this is what everybody remembers from this event.
Yeah, like I posted in the FSD Slack chat this morning. Welcome to the Matt Kuchar Invitation, or Matt Kuchar Can't Tip Invitational. So that's what we're at this week. It's going to be absolutely amazing. And for those who listen to the podcast long enough, big Kuchar fan. So this is going to be fun. He's kind of burned some bridges. Yeah. He's gone from Mr. Nice Guy, like Mr. Rogers, to a little bit of a devil on his shoulder. So we'll wait and see how this goes. But when we look at the course, El Chameleon Golf Club, it's the 13th year at this course, I believe. It's changed names a few times. But it's a par 71, 6,987 yards, less than $7,000 on this one. That's one thing you're going to hear early and often. It's got paspalum greens, which you see at the HSBC, or the CIMB, the Kuala Lumpur, those Asian courses. You're going to see these greens the same way. A common theme you're going to see as well, they're rather friendly fairways, but at the same time, if you're not in the fairways, you're in trouble because it's surrounded by jungles, forests, all kinds of crazy tropical areas. There's some Oceanside, which you hear Graham McDowell's named a lot because, oh, look at Oceanside. You get a lot of RSM Classic. Seaside boys get the Oceanside part, but that's not the whole course. You got the jungle. You got the forest. A lot of good stuff there. A lot of common themes. It's a less than driver course, unless you're on a par five. If you can keep it in the fairway, it's a birdie fest. It's a resort course. The greens are rather large for most courses. They're not super fast. There are a lot of tricky bunkers around there, so you got to be careful with that. But if you're in the fairway, you're wedging it in, it's a birdie fest. There's water all throughout the course on canals, but most of it goes around the holes, like on the backsides of greens and whatnot. Usually, unless you're just wayward like crazy, not going to come into play too often. So for the most part, everything I read early and often on this, stay in the fairway off the tee, be accurate off the tee, birdie fest. That's as simple as I can make it. Like, you don't have to get too over the top, I think, this week. It's a web.com tour minus the sprain at all over the course of surviving. If you're accurate, you're going to be just fine. So should be interesting there. With all that said, Jesse, any certain stats you're looking at this week?
Greens and regulation, big stat, correlation as far as just being overall good at golf, but in particular this golf course from what I've looked at. I think driving distance matters off the tee. I mean, if you look at kind of the historical leaderboards, you know, it's one of those things where you'll, at least what from what I saw in the top 10, a lot of guys who hit it far. So waiting that, there's a lot of course history here. The problem is no shot tracker again, and there's not been any for the last few weeks. So the good thing is Labs actually does have some stats from the last few tournaments as far as greens and regulation and, you know, just your kind of like basic stats that they always have. So that's good. But other than that, you know, no shots, strokes gained stats. So it's kind of shitty, but a lot of it's, again, feel like we talked about at the HSBC, and I wish I would have felt that Rory McIlroy was going to win that, but anyway.
He was expensive. I'll let you slide on that one. He was a little pricey. I know. But this week I'm looking at, you know, we have a lot of past event history. I like guys on these shorter courses. You'll see a lot of trends in some of my picks. It's a lot of familiarity. I'm going to play a lot of consistent guys, maybe not go for broke, but let's resort back to remember how 6 of 6 used to be so darn important, and this is a good week too. You have some good prices that you can make it work. Before we get into the DraftKings picks for the week, FanshareSports.com, been a good partner of the podcast for quite a long time now. If you use promo code ALWAYSPRESS, all one word, lowercase letters, ALWAYSPRESS, get 20% off the package of your choice. They have PGA, NFL, and NBA going strong right now. A couple things from Fanshare Sports. If you look at guys coming in good form, in their last 6 events, Victor Hovland leads the way DraftKings scoring wise. After him is Harris English, averaging just a half a point less, 91.1 points in his last 6 DraftKings tournaments. Tony Finau, Sebastian Munoz, Lanto Griffin, Brian Harman, Denny McCarthy, Mark Hubbard, Billy Ho, and Joaquin Niemann. If you look at your last 6 events on par 71s, less than 7,000 yards, Jason Day, Keegan Bradley, Kazire, Emiliano Grillo, great course history here, Russell Knox, Bryce Garnett, Pat Perez, Kramer Hitchcock, CH3, and Anibon Lahiri make your rankings on that one. And then if you want to look at last year's Mayakoba, it'll pretty much coincide with the leaderboard, but, you know, Kuchar, Lee, Spahn, Champ, Garnett lead the way on that one. With all that fun being said, Jesse, let's get into it. 10K and above. Cooch at 11.4, the defending champion, leads the way. You got Hovland at 11.2, Jason Day at 11,000, Finau 10.6, and Billy Ho at 10.2. Who stands out to you up here?
Well, I mean, this is kind of what you get, I guess, with this weaker field. Finau is the guy that rates out best for me on my model. His finishes lately aren't great. But he's played well around here. 16th here last year and missed a cut in 2016 and then finished 7th in 2014. Couple of 50 place finishes coming up, you know, in the last two, when I say coming up, I meant in the last two starts. So not great recent form. But of the guys up here, that'd be the kind of guy I would lean towards. I think Hovland, you know, might be okay. I wonder how chalky Kuchar will be, just given, you know, his win and that kind of thing. Jason Day, you know, just he's not played well in a long time. I don't really have anything for him. Horschel, maybe, but again, he's got me blocked on Twitter, so I have to mention that. But, you know, he's got at least a couple top 10 finishes in the last 4 starts, so he's showing something there. Not a huge fan of this range overall, but, I mean, I would lean Finau if I had to pick one.
Yeah, I'm with you. Finau, if I'm coming up top, you know, 16th last year, 7th back in 2014-15, coming in kind of wishy-washy form, played really good on the Euro Tour. His last couple no-cut events on the PGA Asian swing, not as strong, but I like him in this field. He's a bomber that doesn't have to bomb and still be successful. So he kind of stands out to me at 10-8 in this area. Billy Ho always is interesting to me because he's a good ball striker, him and Team PXG. If he's locked in, he can play very well. I just don't know if I want to be up here. Jason Day, if he's low-owned, is intriguing. At the same time, you mentioned it. You know, he's finished 22nd and 31st his last couple events, but at $11,000, you need him to be like top five. And does he have it in right now? Maybe. We just haven't seen it. So I'm coming up top here. I'm with you. I want Tony Finau. But at the same time, I also agree with you. I don't think I'm going to be up here. Like I like a lot of the 9K, 8K, even parts of the 7K. I see this week for me potentially being a more balanced approach. Maybe ownership sways me a little bit, but I see a lot of guys lower down that I can foresee finishing very strong that I can, you know, build a more comfortable lineup. Even though there are 6K guys I like quite a bit because the field is kind of a corn fairy, a corny type field to it. We can find some fun. Let's go into the 9K range. You got Neiman at 98, who kind of surprised he's not in the 10K range. CH3 at 96, Wise 94, Knox 93, Answer 92, Scotty Scheffler 91, and Lanto Griffin's up to $9,000. Who you liking, Jesse?
I'll start with CH3 just because he's at the top there. Miscut 4th, 7th in his last three starts here. He does have another 6th place finish back in 2013. He's got the course history and is coming off, you know, some decent showings. 8th place at the Zozo and the HSBC, he finished 36th. Not super great, but obviously much stronger fields there. So I do like CH3, excuse me. Rusty Knox, man. I mean, he just tears this course up. 9th, 3rd, 2nd in his last three starts here, which was 17, 16, and 15. So going back a year and then 3 years before that, three straight top 10s. I would deal with 9,300 Rusty Knox where normally I wouldn't. And then Scotty Scheffler at 9,100, never played here, but has been playing very well, hitting a bunch of greens, and if he can just, you know, get the flat stick moving a little bit there, I think he's got a chance. So at 91, I don't mind him a bit. What say you?
Yeah, we're in a lot of the same place here. I think Neiman's interesting at $9,800. I think he'll be very popular, though, so I'm not sure I can quite get there, especially with a guy like CH3 at $9,600. I think is great. You mentioned his recent history, coming in good form. He loves playing this course. I look at guys that I don't need to swing the driver. We know CH3 can play that kind of short, keep it smart. I can still birdie hole games. I like him quite a bit here. Knox is perfect. That's why he's played so well here. He's an iron playing machine. Finished 11th at the Bermuda, I believe, 28th, 48th prior to that, and 9th, 3rd, and 2nd his last three events here at this tournament. So he's really, really playing it well. Abraham Answer is interesting. I've mentioned him many times at these no-cut events. Finished 4th his last time out, 21st and a 9th in his last two times here. So I think he gets overlooked in this range. But for me, it's CH3, it's Knox, and Scotty Scheffler. 3rd at the Bermuda. This is a birdie-making fool. We've played him the entire fall swing. He's been so money. He hasn't been in the no-cut events, really, but all these other tournaments, he's played great. He finished the corny very well. At $9,100, he's a phenomenal play. I lean a little heavier to Hal and Knox. I think the course history helps them if you're paying up this high. I kind of want someone that knows what they're doing here. At the same time, a ball striker and a scorer like Scotty Scheffler, I think at 91 is really, really nice in your GPPs, whereas Answers like the Uber – no one's going to play him in this range. And I think he can really surprise you because we've seen him play great at times. Again, a 4th place finish his last time out. And that wasn't at the Bermuda, actually. That was at the HSBC, I believe. So that's a big, big tournament for Answer. I think it'd be kind of sneaky in this 9K range at low ownership. 8K, we got Griot at 89. Mr. I Can't Putt, but I love this golf course. Kisner at 88, Champ 87, Keegan 86, Reavy 85, which is surprised me at that price. McCarthy 84, Danny Lee, 2nd place last year. He's $8,300. JT Poston, don't look at DraftKings. That says, oh no, that's just my computer. It's Poston. $8,200. Pat Perez 81, Fratelli 8,000, and Harris English, $8,000. His name popped up in the old fan share there. What say you in the 8K range, Jesse?
You start off. I'm having a slight technical difficulty here.
Okay, well, Griot is interesting because I know you're going to like him because you always like Griot. And I don't hate it this week. He's 15th, 9th, and 10th in his last three events here. He's played very, very well. A 30th and a 26th, his last two events on tour. We always know with Griot, it's the putting. The ball striking is premier. And that's something that if he stays out of trouble, which he should at a course like this, and it's shown in recent years, he could have an advantage. These greens usually aren't extremely tricky. So Griot at 89 is very interesting. I expect him to be popular, but very interesting. Keegan Bradley, a 15th and an 8th place finish here in the 2 years he's played. That was in 16 and 17. Coming in decent form at $8,600 stands out. But I love Ches Reavie at 85. I think it's too cheap for him. 26th, 14th, 4th in his last three events here. He's made all the cuts he's played here. He's played six tournaments, six for six made cuts. I like him a lot at $8,500. If you want to get a little different, Denny McCarthy coming in. He's 2 for 2 on cuts here, coming at the 15th, a 9th, and a 9th in his last three tour events. He's $8,400. He's a birdie-making fool. JT Poston's a guy we love. I've played him a ton. He's a birdie machine at $8,200. And Harris English, it is $8,000. People might say it's a little crazy for English. He won the event 6 years ago, 68th through last year, but coming in with a 4th his last time out. At $8,000, maybe not the best GPP play. But if you're playing cash at 8K, I think he's not a horrible play as a guy. Like, he's going to make the cut. He's got potential to make a run. But he could really, you know, make the cut and help my team out quite a bit. He's a different golfer now. As the year ended last year, got his card. He's playing really well in his fall swing. So I think Harris English at 8K could be pretty interesting. What about you, Jesse?
Yeah, I'm back up. So Griot, I second that call. What about a snubbed off the President's Cup team? I know we didn't talk about this, but Kevin Kisner.
I'm a Kis dude, and you know, everywhere you read, it's a link to the RSM, which we know next week it's the boys from Sea Island. Maybe I could see it. His course history isn't ideal.
Oh, it's terrible. It's awful. Three missed cuts and four starts.
And I'm 160. Kis boy. Like, I love Kis. I told you the story. I don't know if I said it on the pod, but I told you a story about why I like Kisner. He's one of the most genuine, cool dudes. Like, we could easily go play golf and hang out with him afterwards.
Did you see the video of him and the dude from Barstool Riggs or whatever?
They're good. They're good buddies.
They played a match against each other, and he buried a putt at the end and started talking shit. It was pretty good. But
well, he played it with his 7-iron the entire match. That was part of the bet. Like, I don't listen to all of Riggs's foreplay podcast because I just don't have that much time in my life. But I like the ones with Kisner because I literally do enjoy Kisner's like back and forth. And this, they made a deal because they're good buddies. That's how I heard about Kis, because they came to Kis's house at Pebble for the Open, drank with him on Tuesday night. I saw Kis Wednesday and he was definitely hungover. And that's when I started paying attention more. And they made the bet that night before that, hey, you come to my course, you can pick which club I want and we'll have a competition.
Gotcha. I didn't know that. That's even better. Yep. I just wonder if it's, you know, Kis with a chip on his shoulder. I know the course history is bad. So, you know, I think he's worth a look. I doubt many people will be on him. You know, could be wrong, but we'll see. Maybe it's just a next week type of deal where he shows up there. But Ches, I agree with. Pat Perez, don't know if you mentioned him, but like him quite a bit. He's a past winner here and then has played decently well coming off that injury. 3rd, 31st, and 51st. In his last three starts, starting with the Shriners, the CJ Cup, and the Zozo. So I feel like at 8,100, he's worth a shot. And then again, Harris English, like you already mentioned him too, at 8,000 is definitely on my radar because he rates out very highly on the model and he has won here before. Now, his course history coming in is 68 miscut. So it's not good, but this is not the same Harris English as has been around the last couple of years. He's playing much better. 4th place finish last time out the Houston Open. You know, three top tens in his last four starts. He's playing very well. Coming back to a course where he's won before, $8,000. I like that quite a bit.
Yeah, Harris. He's a very good iron player, ball striker, approach type guy. Courses like this just seem like that would fit that game very well, especially the form he's in. So I hope he's not popular. I think if people are savvy or they listen to the Always Pressing podcast, they should be playing him. But we'll wait and see on that one. Yeah. Let's go 7,500 and above. The seven, I'm going to preface this now. the 7 and 6K range, there can be arguments made for a lot of these guys. Like a lot of them. And I'll probably name off a lot. Like most people go, Bubba, who don't you like in Syria? I get it. But I'm trying to like tell you there's a lot of dudes. If you want to get different, you can play Chuck elsewhere. Have some fun down here because there's a lot of really good players, especially on shorter courses. It opens up the player pool. So who are you liking in this area? 7,500 and above.
Yeah. I mean, hey, man, I mean, haters going to hate. So starting up at the top with Brian Gay at $7,900. He has won here before. I think he won here before, right? I think I remember seeing that. It's not listed here on.
Yeah, he won back in 2008.
Yeah, thank you. So it just goes back to 2009 here.
Eight straight cuts.
I mean, the dude just makes cuts here. So third place finish last time out, the Bermuda Championship, which was a couple weeks ago there. $7,900. I'll take plenty of him. Carlos Ortiz at $7,700. Miscut 45th, 55th miscut, 9th at this golf course. So 3 of 5 made cuts. Not great necessarily, but coming off a fourth place finish at the Houston Open and has made 4 straight cuts on tour, which include 2 fourth place finishes in that time. Sebastian Munoz, he's interesting to me. So played here one time, 64th, which was last year in his one and only start. Obviously won this fall swing, but the dude's just been continuously, like, except for the Shriners, exceeding value on his price. And he got up to even $9,400 at the Houston Open. He's back down to a more reasonable level here at 77. I think he's worth a shot myself, so I'll give him a look. So those would be my three guys there that I would be checking out here above 75.
Yeah, I love the Munoz call. We talked about him quite a bit. He's just a birdie machine. I think that the Shriners, now it cleared my brain because we all played him. He tripled 18 on the first day, and he missed the cut by 1 stroke.
Yeah.
I remember that very clearly now because he's just a birdie fool. Like, he's very, very good.
Oh, yeah.
Brian Gay, I'm 100% with you at $7,900. I think he's interesting. I think he'll be low-owned because HV3 is at 79, and I love him. 6th here last year, missed a cut, 5th prior to that, coming in okay form. Everyone loves HV3, so I think Gay is very good at 79, a nice pivot there. I think Sabatini, he's made 6 of 8 cuts at this event, including a 3rd and a 5th. Coming in okay form of 33rd to 31st and 10th in his last 3 tournaments. He can be a nice play, especially in cash games at 78. Like the Munoz call quite a bit, but for regular listeners of the show, it would be inappropriate and irresponsible of me to not mention playing Brian Harman at a short course at $7,700. This is my boy, lefty bias maybe. I don't know. I love playing him in these fields. We played him a lot towards the end of the year. We played him in fall swings. I really like Harman at $7,700. You know, he's made 3 of 4 cuts here, nothing fancy. He's made 4 of 6 cuts. He's made 3 straight, though, 68th, 55th, and a 40th. Not great, but still, I like him on course, so I guess, at 77. And then if you need to go birdie hunting, I like a guy like Bryce Garnett, 5th year last year, 25th, 7th, 6th in his last 4 events here. He can be interesting at $7,600. Don't hate that at all. 7,400 and below, what you looking at?
Start with Cameron Tringale at 7,400. 2 straight made cuts here. So 2017, 25th, 2016, 46th. 3 missed cuts in a row before that. Not a huge deal. 13th place finish at the Houston Open. Finished 16th at Sanderson's Farms, you know, this fall swing too, and 44th. In between there at the Safeway Open. So I like him. He's got some pretty good form coming in. Adam Schenck also playing very well currently for, you know, what he is. He did play the Zozo. He finished 22nd, played the CJ Cup 46th, Shriners Hospital 18th. Hitting it pretty well, made 2 straight cuts here. Not great finishes, but, you know, it is what it is. Jing Zheng Zhang.
Very again. Good. Very yeah, good. That was good.
Who knows? So he's been playing on tour this whole fall swing pretty much. 1 missed cut was at the green bar. Other than that, 38th, 4th, 16th, 7th, 60th. I mean, guys just playing well. Played here in 2017, finished 20th, $7,300. You can do a lot worse. Nick Taylor at 7,200. 2 straight missed cuts here, but he's been playing better as of late. 29th at the Shriners, 10th Safeway. So form is okay there. Not a huge fan of him, but I think he's worth a mention. Martin Laird. 3 of 5 made cuts at this golf course, 2 straight made cuts on tour. I think he's okay at 7,100. I'm not a huge fan of the bottom portion of this. Do like Tringale and Shink quite a bit with Zhang there.
This is where Jesse and I disagree because I love a couple guys down here. Zhang is on my list of 73. I like that quite a bit, coming in great form. And if he cheats like he can, we're good. Siwoo in GPPs at the price points they're giving him always has my attention because he can be uber tilting, as we all know. But a guy like Siwoo, 26th, 3rd, withdraw, and a 17th, his last four tournaments here, he makes cuts with potential to play better. Siwoo at 74 has my attention. Ryan Armour, a good short course specialist, 21st, 55th the last 2 years here, finished 8th in the Bermuda. He's on the list. A name you're going to mention a lot because he's coming in great form, but I don't know if I want to play chalky, is Doc Redman. He's going to be very popular. I've heard his name a ton already. Pretty sure a couple shows might be on him as well because they love Doc, and they like that one time he did very well for them. So I'm curious about Doc at 7,100. But the other two guys I like a ton, and these are guys that we've been on quite a bit during the fall swing. Brian Stewart, he's made 5 or 6 cuts. Missed a cut here last year, but a 9th, a 2nd, and he's finished 4-3 events ago on the PGA Tour. He's a birdie maker at 7,100. And then a dude I love, missed the cut here 3 years ago, made his two previous cuts, 41st at the Bermuda, 2nd at the event prior to that. Mark Hubbard at 7,000 is a guy I can get behind, another birdie maker that's super, super cheap. So, like, Stewart and Hubbard are two guys I don't like down below. Armour and Siwoo, guys that can play really well in courses like this, and Zhang, quite interesting, as you mentioned before. 6K range, what do you like in Jesse?
Start with Scott Harrington at 6,900. Never played here, but has been playing very, very well since, you know, earning his PGA Tour card at the end of at the Corn Ferry there. And, you know, he has a 2nd place finish at the Houston Open. Just making cuts, except for the Sanderson this fall swing. What about Joel Dahman at $6,800? I'm super confused by this price. 41st and 23rd in his last two starts at this golf course, and has made 3 straight cuts on tour, including a top 10 at the Shriners. I mean, just an odd price, in my opinion. Sean Stefani, not great course history. 3 of 5 made cuts here. Did miss the cut last year, but in the last 3 times he's made the cut, he's finished 20th, 25th, and 2nd. So, I mean, he's a boom or bust play, coming off an 11th place finish at the Bermuda. I think he's playable at 6,700 for sure. Adam Long, I mean, he went over to did kind of the Asian swing. Before that, I was all over him quite a bit. He was just kind of playing very well. So I think he's worth going back to at $6,600. He's never played at this golf tournament. But before the Asian swing, he had, you know, 3 straight top 25s, which at $6,600 is gonna pay off pretty well. 2 more guys, long shots. Just looking at some individual stats, Zach Blair, he's gotten
love it
around here pretty well. 3 make cuts in a row. If you go back to 16, 14, and 15, did have a top 10 in 2015. So he's been able to get around this place pretty well. Made 3 of his last 4 cuts on tour. Did finish 4th at the Safeway, and, you know, did make the last 2 cuts that he's played there. So, from what I've seen, you know, I mean, scrambling is a potential stat to kind of check out. It might weight a little bit higher here than it does at other places, but and Zach has a pretty good short game. And then last but not least, Tyler Duncan, 2 cuts in a row at Mayakoba here, coming off 18th place finish at the
Barracuda.
It's the Bermuda. It's like there's way too much of this island golf names. they get me fucked up. So anyways, that's it for me.
There's a name you didn't mention that I'm very surprised about. Hudson Swafford, $6,300, Jesse. Any thoughts?
Yeah, you know, Hudson, man, that's I used to love the guy.
That's your boy. Now,
he has made 4 straight cuts here, so I could see where there's a little bit of reason to play him, but dude has not been good in the last 2 years. I mean, just miscut after miscut after miscut. So he went over and played in the European Tour. That's wild. He must have been injured or something at the end of, because he didn't play from June to October, and then went over and played Open de France, finished 29th. I mean, that's a super deep GPP throw. If I've ever seen one there.
$6,300. You never know. You never know.
If you're playing super large field event, I wouldn't mind that.
Yeah. Harrington, I'm 100% with. Guys like Sam Ryder can pull it out for you. A guy I do like at $6,800 is Fabian Gomez. We've been playing him quite a bit. Not the best course history, but a seventh in Bermuda. In the fall swing, 55th, 56th, 18th, playing some really good cut-making golf. Down below is what you're looking for. If you're talking short course specialist, Vaughn Taylor, he's made five straight cuts. He included a 26th last year, two straight cuts on tour, 41st and 60th. Johnny Vegas is always GPP relevant when he's down below here. He can do all kinds of crazy stuff, and he's played great course history. Here, six of eight cuts, 38th, 61st, 10th the last 3 years here. But some guys I usually mention down below here, $6,700, David Hearn. He's a birdie maker and a cut-making machine. Made four or five cuts here, and then he had an eighth at in Bermuda recently. I like him. I love your Zach Blair call. He's a short course specialist. They've talked about it time and time again with him on short courses. He can play very well. You mentioned the course history, two straight made cuts on tour. I don't hate that at all. If you're looking at course history, though, it's a weird play because I'm not in love with him all the time, but CT Pan, 16th, 55th, 46th the last three times here. And then the last guy I'll mention is Matt McNeely. He's never played here before, but 35th, 17th, 37th, 56th, 7th, or 52nd. Four straight made cuts on the tour after getting his card from the Korn Ferry Tour. So Mav at 65 can be interesting. We'll narrow all this down when we recap everything. But this 6K range, you can get different and have some fun with it. That's for sure. All right, Jesse, let's recap it. 10K yep. and above, who you got? Who's your one guy?
I'll go with Finau.
Yeah, I'll go with Finau as well. 9K and above, give me two guys.
CH3 and I'll say Scheffler.
We have the same guys there as well. This is outstanding. Okay. This is going to be boom or bust weekend for the Always Pressing podcast. 8K range, give me two guys.
This is good. I'm just gonna go on the low end. I'm gonna go Perez and English.
I'm gonna go Reavy and English. I love Griot. I think you like Griot a lot. Chalky is too chalky for Griot for you?
Yeah, I mean he's probably gonna be, 20% plus. I mean it's tilting. The good news is there's no shot tracker, so you won't know when he misses.
When he misses three footers.
Yeah.
But how chalky is too chalky for you?
Anything. Over 20%, I would rather not. But it's just been so hard to predict to the during this fall swing. So
true, very very true. 7,500 above, give me two guys.
Brian Gay and Munoz.
I'll go Brian Gay and Brian Harman. 7,400 and below, give me two guys.
Tringali and Zhang.
I'm gonna go Stewart and Hubbard. Save some money right there. 6K, give me two guys.
Harrington and Dahlman.
Fabian Gomez and Zach Blair. That's where I'm going to go. Gomez and Blair. It's going to be an interesting one, to say the least. If you're starting a cash lineup, give me three guys.
Believe it or not, I think Harris English is cash viable.
Agreed.
This is kind of hard, but I would also probably throw Perez into that mix as well. And then a guy like Tringali as well.
I have CH3, Reavy, and English as my cash starting point. GPP, give me three guys you're starting with.
I think Harrington can be GPP's Zhang. If you want to get super weird, Zach Blair.
I don't hate that at all. I'm going to start with Griot, Harman, and Scheffler. Again, like we talked about, though, if Griot's too chalky, they're probably not going to go that direction. All right. The funnest part of the podcast. Who's your pick to win?
Well, you got on Harris English. I'm just going to throw his name out there.
Yeah, we love English. I knew this was going to come up. 50-1.
I don't mind that.
I like Scheffler at 33. He's coming through sooner than later. And I like Harman at 60. Anyone else that tickles your fancy?
Not really. No.
All right, then. All this right, field, then. Buddy. Yeah. It's a fun field. It's going to be a fun tournament.
Yeah.
But it's not, we got a few more months until we get back to, going down to, let's say, L.A. for some fun adventure. San Diego to Torrey Pines. We got a little Hawaii. Bit over there.
Yeah,
we'll get to the Sony. The Sony will be good.
Yep.
Sony, we'll be back with the Sony. I'm not counting the champions. We'll go to the Sony. So we got about a month and a half of playing these kind of smaller. I like the RSM. I haven't seen the field yet, but the RSM is usually a pretty decent field with all the Sea Island Georgia boys. So that'll be pretty interesting.
Next week will be good too, yeah.
Any final thoughts for the Mayakoba or just anything in general?
I got none. I will say that I am glad that you can play golf and not have to play a defense.
If you guys only knew the whole story there. If you guys only knew it all. But it's tilting. It's tilting. Yep. Let's have fun with this. Who would be your 4K Ravens defense equivalent to this week's golf tournament?
Finau, right?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So Finau is going to be the guy that breaks the slate.
that would be the equivalent, in my opinion.
Yep.
Because you're like looking at him, you're like, I do not want to roster him. I can't afford him. And then you don't, and then he wins.
I was like Rory last week. Let's just say that. Or at the HSBC. It's like Rory's the Ravens defense. If you don't play him, you're screwed.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, that'll wrap us up this week, folks. You can find Jesse on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. I am at BD Entrick in the podcast at Always Press DFS. If you can give us a rating and review on iTunes, we much, much appreciate it. But until next time, this was the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast previewing the 2019 Mayakoba Classic. Catch you guys later. The show goes on, to the morning we dream, no longer anybody.